Hey, everybody, it's The Spectacle. I'm Scott McKay, senior editor of The American Spectator. With me is Melissa McKenzie, the publisher of The American Spectator. And we are talking about something that I think you will find very interesting. I know Melissa finds it interesting, maybe not in the way that you do. We will see. What we are talking about is somebody named Pearl Davis, who is a YouTuber of fair significance, generates a ton of traffic on the web. And she said something recently that we want to have a whole segment about. So we're going to play that right now.
You mentioned you were raised Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
Do you still consider yourself a Catholic? Do you consider yourself a Christian?
No, I'll tell you what. I would have said yes to that maybe like a month ago. Or 2 months ago, but I've recently started reconsidering Catholicism. And the reason being is that, and I'd like to say this is not definitive. I've noticed patterns in society and in history. And one pattern I've noticed is that we tend to elevate women higher than they should be and say they're more special and awesome than they are. And recently I've had the thought wondering if the Catholic Church did that with Mary. But I'm not sure. So I still go to Catholic Church now, but it's kind of, I can't really get that thought out of my mind recently.
Now, all that having been said, Melissa, I'm going to throw it to you. What do you think of what Pearl said about Mother Mary?
Well, I didn't really know who Pearl was, and I have paid scant attention to the manosphere and the red pilled and the black pilled and the white pilled and everybody pilled and the Reddit forums hating on women and the incel groups on 4chan and all of that. I've largely ignored the phenomenon, the Andrew Tate phenomenon, and just rolled my eyes. But then Pearl, who's ostensibly Catholic, decided to bring into her discussion Mother Mary, saying that Mary is possibly the Catholic Church has elevated her too high, and women and elevate women in general. That's a cultural problem that she sees. Well, before we get to this inane argument, I would like to talk a little bit, take a little detour before we get into that. So I've had some time to watch Pearl's some of her videos, some of what she said, and a couple things come to mind. And I'm going to sound like the old lady here, but so be it. This girl is 27 years old, woman. She's a 27-year-old woman, never married, never divorced, never had children, has interviewed a bunch of women, apparently, and come to the conclusion that women are stupid and should be married by 22. And in that way, I actually, you know, don't entirely disagree with her. The cultural messages have been pretty toxic towards young women, and they are making bad choices about their life thanks to feminism. There have been some great, we had in our last issue of The American Spectator, Carrie Gress, a really intelligent writer, talked about feminism and how it's basically destroyed young women and their perceptions of womanhood. And in another podcast, Pearl said to Michael Knowles, basically she thinks that for the sake of men, because men are just being abused in the current system, that this is a woman's world, a feminized world. And again, I wouldn't disagree with her in many respects, actually. But it's the solution to the problem she identifies that is just terrible. And one of the things she said is that all women who are pregnant, and once they have a baby, the very first thing that should happen with every baby is a DNA test to determine who the father is. Because a man should not be responsible for taking care of a baby that is not his. And men are the victims. Wham, wham. Okay. So the thing that occurred to me with her solutions is, one, a lack of historical understanding, 2, a lack of theological understanding, 3, a lack of cultural understanding. The list is endless, okay? I was just incensed from beginning. First off, I get the idea of influencers just irritates me and crawls all over me to begin with. There's kind of, when I hear her speak, when I've watched her videos, there's kind of a winking to the camera where she's just saying provocative, demagogic things simply for the clicks. And I don't think she has the courage of her convictions. I saw another interview with, I forget his name. But anyway, another interview that she was in, and basically she said, well, I'm still working out my ideas, and kind of walked back. It's not like I know everything. Well, the thing is with her influencer, I believe she is influential. And if people listen to her prescription for things, they are going to create more problems for themselves. And it goes back to, I'll give some, just some examples in historically of what has happened and why we're at where we're at. It's not like the current situation between men and women happened in a vacuum. A lot of what we're facing now as a society has roots back generations. When men came back from World War II, and yes, I'm going back that far, and they were shell-shocked, and a whole generation of men were completely wrecked and went right back into the workforce. There was a huge problem with PTSD, something that wasn't even talked about until after Vietnam, and problems with alcoholism and men beating their wives. There was no divorce. Divorce was frowned upon, and a lot of women were stuck in marriages with abusive, terrible, aggressive men. And having had their independence more so during World War II, because they kept all the industrial machine shops going, and then their husbands came back and took those jobs and they went home and had kids, there was discontent, to say the least. So the solution to that problem wasn't to make no-fault divorce. The solution to the problem would have been to help the men recover from their problems, to prosecute the ones who were actually beating the shit out of their wives and deal with that problem. But nobody wanted to arrest an American hero for his bad behavior to his wife and children. That was unseemly. And so that didn't happen. And so the cultural problem existed. So you have these young boomer kids who grew up financially wealthy, because the wealth post-World War II in America exploded, and then with emotionally deprived because they were surrounded by addiction and abuse. Not everybody, but enough people were in that situation that it convinced people like Ronald Reagan to pass no-fault divorce in California, and then it became the law of the land everywhere. Along with that, you also had this idea that men could be kind of hound dogs. Back in that time, there was no technology to track guys. So a bad guy could get a girl pregnant, skedaddle out of town. You literally never see him again. I have family members who, the men in the family, the fathers of that generation, had kids in 3 different towns and their wives never knew, because there was no way to track them. You know, dad was off to work, and he was really off with his other family. Some cases right down the street. In one case, he had one family there, and then they, you know, found another family right down the street. So this was a thing that could happen because of the, you know, the technology was different then. So what the idea of an abortion or birth control became very appealing, because women were being stuck in these situations. And so this was a cultural solution to a cultural social problem, and women weren't feeling supported. And so it threw the baby out with the bathwater. So then you had a problem, you created other cultural problems. I bring all of this up because when you talk about one of her solutions, which is to DNA test every child that is born, it's the same kind of solution to a problem. So you're it's a reactive solution. And she's like, well, that's the facts and it's just what's happening. Well, she doesn't know what she's talking about. I have been in the legal system dealing with all this. There's no discussion in her, you know, cherry picking of data of how women are plunged into poverty once they get divorced. So this is not something that is appealing to most women, divorce. It is to some. But there's three main causes of divorce even now: addiction, adultery, and what's the third? Abuse.
Finances.
No. Well, finances is actually not the three A's are the a lot of times the triggering account effects. The finances are secondary often to one of those three. If a person's okay. addict or an alcoholic or whatever, and or a you know gambler or and you know draining the finances, there's going to be fights. So and so like yes, sometimes finances. Well, so like you've had this cultural change where rather than shoring up the men in society and helping them be better fathers and husbands and all of that, you created these solutions that disintegrated the family further. And so women are on their own raising. Now you've got children who don't have the stability of a two-parent home. You have poverty for those children and fear. And then they distrust the institution of marriage itself. And then those people grow up and view marriage as a fungible institution. It's not solid. It's not something you can count on. And so divorce went up all the way and took off, like skyrocketed in the 80s as women entered the workforce. So why did women enter the workforce? Because parents of daughters said, you don't want to have to rely on a man. You want to be able to take care of yourself. And women themselves got that message because they didn't want to have the kind of dad to be bossed around this way that they saw the in their household. Now, I'm not saying all, okay? But it happened enough societally that the responses that were happening were to a cultural problem that wasn't dealt with. And we come now to a place where we have a society of young people who've grown up on video games, think they can be whatever they want, this all self-actualization to the point of, I can be an anime character or a cat if I want to be. And you've got people who are just not tethered to reality. And the young women have been, you know, soaked in this feminist ideology who reject the central thing that makes women special, which is their ability to have children, something that men cannot do. And you have young men who are afraid to be men because of this feminized environment, and or are not being encouraged by their parents to get up off their butts, put the video games away and hit the gym and make something of themselves. So you have women who are going to school in greater numbers, ambitious and getting kind of satisfaction, and you have guys who are delaying launching, and you're in this weird place where you have people like Andrew Tate and now this Pearl chick basically saying that marriage is a bad deal, especially for men. But that's just factually not true. Men who are married make more money, they have more sex, they live longer, just to name three things. Women, by the way, who get married do not live longer. They actually live shorter lives if they get married than if they stay single. Fun fact. Partially, I think, probably because they bear the brunt of child rearing. And, you know, who knows what all the details with that. But men do live longer. So, like, it is a good thing to be a married guy. Even still, because this has been something that's been interesting to me, when I've talked to men who've gone through difficult divorces, would they still get married and have children? And to a person, they've all said yes. And even women who've been through bad divorces and in bad situations also say yes. And now this is as anecdotal as Pearl's, you know, conversations with all these young people. And I feel like there's some kind of selection bias here on the part of these kind of manosphere people and Pearl herself looking at the OnlyFans girls and all of this. Well, how many OnlyFans girls are there really in society? It's like, how many really? And how many of these young girls who spout off, on camera that you see interviewed really believe what they're saying? If they met a man who would step up and take care of them, these are things I'm just not sure about. But a lot of what I think we're seeing are indoctrination and a defensiveness trying to navigate a world where the rules are not clear for either young men or young women, and a discomfort with the vagaries of human relationships because social skills are such a problem now. So, like, you put all of these things together, and then you have influencers like Pearl giving advice to young men, marriage is a bad deal for you. No, actually, it's not. But if you do have unresolved issues, and if you're a complete mess, both male and female, you are going to bring problems to your dating relationships and have problems. But this advice is just terrible. Now let's get back to Mary, because the solution actually is Mary. One of the things that Protestantism, and I'm saying that as a lifelong Protestant who converted to Catholicism, so just to FYI for everybody, there's an imbalance in the Protestant, it doesn't matter the denomination, because of the minimization of Mary. And so the only kind of balance in the church, in the Protestant church, and I don't care which Protestant church you're talking about, because of the minimization of Mary, is what is a woman's role? If you're Catholic and you look to Mary, you know that she's special, first off, because she was the best Christian that ever lived. She followed Christ in the way that Abraham, when God told him to go, he did. When God told him to do something, he did. Well, Mary in the New Testament, the angel came to her and said, and she said, make it be so. She accepted something to for any Christian to aspire to. The fact, and then the second part was, is she was a mother, and she's venerated because motherhood is, in its essence, the closest thing you can be to God as human. God is a creator. Women, only women in their body can have babies. It is a miracle every time it happens. I'll say this, I've been pregnant 3 times, had 4 children in that span, and nothing comes close. And men can't do it. And so and it's something that should be venerated. It's something that should be honored. This isn't elevating a woman for woman's sake. This is elevating a role that is so absolutely critical, important. We used to know this. And shame on Pearl, who's supposedly a Catholic, not understanding why Mary is venerated. So because Mary is venerated in the Catholic Church, there isn't a balance there. People kind of, you don't go in and out of a Catholic church confused about sex and gender. You know that a woman, and why do leftists attack statues of Mary with Jesus? Why? Because being a mother and saying that it's a woman is antithetical to the leftist worldview. And so they attack it. Well, I don't want to hear someone who considers themselves on the right. And she said something that I think is particularly pernicious. She said that we have to deal with the facts, not just religion. Well, the problem is the solution to the problems we're describing is a cultural, social one that is best suited for religion, which is why it is something that should be talked about in those frames. These young men who are struggling with deciding what to do with their lives, and who she says, well, Republicans aren't going to get their votes because they're not speaking to the needs of these guys. No, I'm sorry, Pearl, you're not speaking to the needs of these guys. If you had any courage of your convictions and any courage to hold to the faith you've been blessed to have since childhood. She's, her parents have been married for 30 years. She's one of six Catholic kids. The things that she accepts and takes as rote because she lived in the benefits of them, these young men need to know about, because it's what's protected her, what's protected Pearl in her life. It's what's protected her family. Thankfully for Pearl, her mom actually venerated Mary so much so that she had six children. That is the bulwark against the cultural problems that we see. A man living an honorable life and taking care of his wife and family is a bulwark against this, not a DNA test for babies. And there's some kind of practical things too. I've lived a little bit longer than Pearl, and I've seen lots of patients and stuff. Do you know how many men know that they're raising a child that's not theirs? Sometimes it's spoken overtly, sometimes not spoken. It is the rare man who's completely shocked that one of these kids isn't his. In fact, I have never actually seen it happen. Not once. In every single case, the man knew that he was raising someone else's child. There's not been one time. I mean, you see these Maury Povich things and whatever. Maybe those are the kind of people Pearl's been hanging out with. You know, a bunch of dumbasses who have no idea who they're having sex with and what's happening. But in the real world, with the people that I've seen and met, every case, the man knew and the woman knew, and they either had a conversation about it or they didn't and just made a decision. That's how life can be sometimes. It's messy and it's not always clear, and there's people who are making those choices. And so, like, and it's still a better choice very often. And the man is often making the right choice for right reasons. Let's not deny men their agency. She talks about we deny women their, you know, the agency of women. And I think that's true. Women are making choices, whether it be on birth control or having abortions. It's one of my big issues, is letting women off the hook for their choices. But there's also something I know that Pearl doesn't. When I was in practice, there was one woman who had an abortion who hadn't been coerced. Every other patient I had been coerced by either parents, a boyfriend, or a spouse. Every single one. There was one who was happy with her decision and did not feel coerced. And of the people who felt that way, and I have had some friends who've also had abortions, all of them have paid the price. It's not like a woman who makes that choice doesn't actually live with the consequences. One way or the other, whether she makes a choice to abort a baby or to keep the baby, the woman deals with it because it's in her body. And now she might be taking away the choice of the man she's with. And I've seen that happen every once in a while. But that's the exception. The rule has been coercion. And so I kind of get on my high horse here, because the very solution to some of these problems are not to create more rules that are in reaction to another cultural problem. No-fault divorce has been a disaster for America. Absolute disaster. Birth control pills and birth control has been an absolute disaster. Do you know that 1/3 of women who have infertility, 1/3 of women who have infertility, for everybody who's listening, have it because they had an undiagnosed STD. 1/3. That means, so by the time the woman decides to get around to having a kid and get married and doing all of that, and she's led a promiscuous life because feminism has told her that that's the way to live as a woman, instead of getting married young and having children and staying in a marriage, and then her health and her body is protected. Not only that, but her soul, because she's not being used and abused through all that time, because women are wired differently than men. And we can't have that conversation. And so she gets to 35, tries to have a baby and can't. And it was because of an undiagnosed STD. And it's because, and she had that STD because she was on the pill with and having sex with men she may or may not have trusted. Very often with men she trusted. And they don't realize that they are carrying STDs, right? And so they give it to this woman. And then she bears the brunt of it long-term with the infertility and her future spouse who she ends up with. So all of these cultural decisions that have been made are solved with the decisions that Pearl's parents made, ironically enough, that she seems to completely take for granted, which is they got married, they raised their children in the faith. She says she goes to church every week. And it's because of Mary's elevation and veneration that there's balance in the church. You can't grow up Catholic and be kind of confused about whether or not motherhood is a good thing. It's considered a blessing. And it should be, because it is. And so the solution to this is to teach young men to be good husbands and fathers and give sacrificial love, and to teach young women that their highest purpose is motherhood, and that they can still be productive, wonderful, contributing members of society and be a mother, but that the highest way to do that is being a mother. I remember the quote in 300 where the Persian was talking to Leonidas's wife and basically saying, well, what are you? And she said, I'm the mother of Spartan men. And any mother who is a mother worth her salt feels that way. Because, you know, you can be an accomplished woman, and there's many accomplishments you have. There's many accomplished men. But there's nothing better than having children. There's no bigger accomplishment. You know, the best things that I can achieve in life are multiplied exponentially because I have children, because they're also contributing. That's quite a legacy. And so anyway, I wanted to talk about this because I was just like, man, I hope people are not actually giving this nonsense any credibility. It's really toxic, and it's just more lies for young people who really should be focusing on making themselves the best that they can be, healing the wounds of their past, if that is necessary, and going out and finding a like-minded person who will go to church with them, get married, and have kids. That's ultimately the solution. So that's my two cents, Kat. Sorry, it's been like a total rant, but this is something that I'm just like,
take that, Pearl Davis. And with that, I think we'll go ahead and conclude this segment of the spectacle, but I want to drop a couple things in your head. Number one, please like, share, and subscribe with all of these different segments that you're seeing of the podcast. You know, we're covering lots of different topics, some political. This obviously was one that's not really. You know, we've got to kind of manufacture an audience on our own because we're not getting any help from the big tech crowd and the social media platforms. So it's up to you, the reader and the listener and the viewer. Check us out at spectator.org, and we'll see you soon.